Well, now you got to be thinking Super Bowl or bust for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, look at all Super the Bowl. Moves. Yeah. And good morning, by the way. Look at all the moves, just even in a vacuum, that the Pittsburgh Steelers have made this offseason. A lot of them very uncharacteristic. The latest was yesterday. This is not uncharacteristic. Signing T.J. Watt to an extension, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. Top Myles Garrett. For $41 million per year. Right. This is an all-in season. All-in for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Super Bowl bust, wait, let me just clarify. Like, you mean like buy tickets through the league and go to San Francisco and watch the Super Bowl? Are you actually Super Bowl bust? Like play in the Super Bowl? Like win the Super Bowl? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
The team that goes 10-7 every single year ad infinitum.
Yes, the team that has not won a playoff game in 8 years. Yes, all
and
those
what
things.
Is the, wait,
yes.
What is making you say that?
Okay, well, I'm just looking at what the team has actually done. And how about this? If you can just remove the Steelers, let's just say this is Franchise X, okay? Franchise X.
Okay.
Not the Steelers. This is Franchise X. Maybe they wear black and yellow. But whatever, it's just Franchise X. Winning tradition, winning history, future Hall of Fame coach, okay? In Franchise X. You have a team that is a perennial playoff team, even though they haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. So it's not someone who's a bottom feeder of the league. It's a team that's always right there in terms of making the playoffs.
All accurate.
They have signed a Hall of Fame quarterback who is at his last stop, but looking for a big ending, right?
Okay,
looking to rectify what just happened in his last stop. And bring some stability. I don't say stability. The franchise is stable, but sort of go out on top. So you've got Hall of Fame quarterback. You have uncharacteristically traded for one of the top wide receivers in the league, and then paid him. Mm-hmm. So you have weapons now. You traded away the guy who was the talented headache. So you are clearly trying to figure out the vibe situation
here.
Well,
how is that an all-in move? To trade away the talented headache doesn't sound all-in, but go ahead.
Okay, but you realize that your locker room can't have those kind of distractions because this season's too important to fart around with the guy who is the talented headache. So he's gone. That'd be George Pickens, obviously. He's gone. Then you make the trade for Minka Fitzpatrick and Jonnu Smith. So two other guys out of nowhere, you decide to make these trades to bring back at least guys with Fitzpatrick who are big names.
Yeah.
Have connection.
You mean, Ramsey.
Ramsey. Yeah. Sorry, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. And trade for Fitzpatrick for Ramsey, another guy all in, right? In the vein a little bit of the quarterback that you brought in.
Right.
Future Hall of Famer, maybe Ramsey, but it might have a case.
Yeah. Right, but you lost Fitzpatrick, so it's
okay.
At best a wash.
I don't know about that.
Fitzpatrick's a little better, you think?
I'm not sure why they did this trade. I'm actually still not sure why they did it, but Jalen Ramsey in. Somebody is a Super Bowl champion, just like your quarterback, wants to go out on top, and you re-signed your GM for a couple years. Like, you like the direction. This feels like the, and now you just put, you gave your best defender a beyond lucrative contract.
Right.
So this is it. This if that was Franchise X and not the Steelers, would this tell you these are all-in moves?
No. They feel like status quo moves if I ever heard one.
Trading for DK Metcalf and Pickens is a status
but they
quo move?
They gave up Pickens and they got in Metcalf. It's you know, it's not that. It's not like DK Metcalf is a top five wide receiver either. And look, there's a million rankings out there. Find me DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is a nice move. That one is feels all in-ish.
Yeah.
But they gave away Pickens, so they don't. Who's their number two receiver?
Well, I think they believe it's going to be the young guy from
Michigan.
Washington. Yeah, from Michigan.
Excuse Roman Wilson? No. I mean, like, I'm not saying no to you, but that feels a little speculative.
And they have Freiermuth, so they do have a pass catching tight end who could probably be their second wideout.
They love 10-7, Maggie. It feels if all in means all in, I'm staying at 10-7. Every move they made to me says status quo. Trade Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey, it's kind of a wash. They get in Jonnu Smith, who I think they really like, but like Arthur Smith always has Jonnu Smith, and like that's kind of the same. They bring in Aaron Rodgers after having Russell Wilson last year, maybe a little bit more upside, but what has Aaron Rodgers done lately? Like, everything feels like it is on a runaway train for another 10-7 season.
Okay, so then why make T.J. Watt the highest paid Defensive player.
He's the best defense because he's one or two or three of the best defensive players in the NFL. Why wouldn't you make TJ? Like, status quo, because you always have TJ Watt. Like, of course they're going to pay TJ Watt. He's part of the fabric of their team, and I know he's a little bit older, but he's, like, the best defensive pass rusher in the league.
Okay, but if you're not going towards a Super Bowl, again, this is not a team that's a bottom feeder franchise, right? So if you don't feel like you are able to actually be a Super Bowl contender, then why are you doubling down on something like that?
You might as well call Pittsburgh, our buddy Andrew Filipponi in Pittsburgh. That's what they want to know. Why do you keep on?
Because.
Why do you keep on shooting for 10-7? And that's what this season feels like.
Because they believe this is a different all-in year.
Well, they're delusional because.
You're not in the rat race.
If they're delusional then because it feels like the same old Steelers to me. I mean, Super Bowl. You're telling me they're going to get out of the AFC with the Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills? That feels very rich.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, so this move yesterday, and it's not just this one, though. It's you got to look at the entire Steelers offseason. If this were any other team, if this were the Rams, if this were Cowboys,
the Rams
anyone.
Got Matthew Stafford at 35. That is not the same thing as getting Aaron Rodgers in June at age 41 coming off an Achilles at a mediocre season with the Jets.
Not the same. Okay, not coming off the Achilles anymore. I think we can let that go.
He was pretty average last year.
But he's a year removed, which, you know.
Did you say the Jets were all in? Like, did you?
Yeah, they were.
Well, last year, though, for example, like nobody picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl last year because Rodgers was coming off an injury.
Right, but the year he got there, when he's saying the Lombardi trophies are looking lonely and they had a top defense like the Steelers do, everyone was saying Jets, new Jets. And by the way, the Jets had a lot to overcome in terms of they don't have a winning culture. They don't have the foundation. They did not have stability at head coach. They did not have stability within their front office. Like, the Steelers have all of that stuff. For as much as you want to criticize them, like, they are a better run organization. I mean, EJ is a Jets fan. You'd kill to be a Steelers fan. You've said that Mike Tomlin, you'd have him in a heartbeat if you could.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but Steelers fans are so frustrated right now.
Well, that's just because he's been there for 2 decades.
Well, it is that. But also, I think that they seem to be settled in this groove where they keep on having a slightly winning season and going out in the first round of the playoffs. And I feel like they're headed right in that direction again.
So TJ Watt signs for another record-setting deal. Was this a smart move to give him all that money?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You don't have to do anything. Well, I mean, listen, you have a Hall of Fame player who's given everything to the team, and he's still very, very effective. Why would you not pay him? I mean, of course you're going to pay him.
Because if you really believe that this is just another year where you're shooting to just barely make it over 500 and not be a legit
contender. They don't believe that. They think they're better, but they've thought that many, many years since Ben got old.
So it's just all delusion.
Yes, that is what we always talk about with the Steelers. It's like, wow, they think they're elite, and they're just not. They're not even dangerous for the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the problem. I feel like we've had this conversation with Steelers. What changed this offseason is not TJ Watt signing, not bringing DK Metcalf. I think there's still some delusion that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Aaron Rodgers of old. That is what is fueling this sort of all-in Super Bowl talk. Will you agree with that to some extent?
I'll agree with you that I think the Steelers have overall botched the quarterback situation since the end of Ben, without a doubt.
No, but I mean that the hype is because of Rodgers. I mean, the only reason you would even say Super Bowl is because Aaron Rodgers is
there. I'm going to be honest. It's not any one thing that they did. It was the things that they did that, to be honest, felt a little uncharacteristic to me of the Steelers in general. Like, the thing about last year when they had Fields and then they had Russell Wilson, I guess when I looked at that, I thought, well, Pickett basically wanted to leave. So they're
Pickens,
Kenny Pickett wanted to leave.
Well, yeah.
Okay, because he didn't want to compete. And they kind of found themselves in this situation where I think they were trying to make the best of it. I don't think that signaled, this is the Steeler way, is to be bringing in these old over-the-hill quarterbacks. Right. And, like, that's our vibe now. I think they were just sort of patching that up. And now this year with Rodgers, I do think they believe this is like a last, like, you get the very end, the last little bit of his genius.
I feel like this is like Rodgers happened to be there, and they're like, well, I kind of felt like they were bargain shopping, and he just happened to be available, and no other team wanted Rodgers, so Rodgers wants to play. So he picked Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh didn't seem in any urgent rush. They're like, Pittsburgh actually said, we're perfectly happy going with Mason Rudolph.
And no
this
one
year.
Believed that.
I believed it. Why not? Mason Rudolph would be 9-7, just like Aaron Rodgers is going to be. I think Mike Tomlin, I don't think he thinks like that. I think he's like, well, I'm going to win with defense and I'm going to beat you 19-12.
Right.
That's his mantra. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers, like, did you, when the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, the ultimate all in move, they were so pumped. They're like, bleep those picks. Let's go all in. This is a
and
year.
And they also traded for Ramsey.
Right. 6 years ago or five years
just
ago.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the thing, the Steelers are just like, well, you know what? Rodgers is there. It doesn't feel like all in. It feels like might as well go try and make the playoffs again. And also, too, Rodgers is so cheap. That's a huge advantage. That's why they could do this TJ Watt sign. Because Rodgers doesn't want any money. He said, I'm gone after the year. It's basically like an NBA expiring contract. I think we view the situation very differently. Like, I don't even put them in the mix for the Super Bowl.
Wow. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So, you know, if you're not even putting them in the mix for the Super Bowl, then are we really thinking about the AFC North in the wrong way?
Well, how so?
Browns are a mess. I don't think anyone believes their quarterback situation. If they could scrap it all, I don't think they would come up with these four dudes of, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, who seems like he's trying to angle for a comeback. Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, poo-poo platter is like kind of weird.
Don't forget Deshaun Watson might come
back. I said,
back
that's what
oh,
I
yeah,
said.
Sorry. Yeah.
And then you
yeah,
have,
but we don't, the Browns have been bad forever. Is that changing the way we're thinking about it?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Definitely status quo on offense, where their offense was amazing, but besides Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator, Cherry Hendrickson's still out there looking for a new deal. Have they meaningfully upgraded on defense, where their first round pick is still not signed and there's questions about whether he want to sue to go back to college is like an actual topic that's out there right now in sports. So maybe the Bengals aren't even close to being a contender playoff team. So you basically just have the Ravens.
Yeah.
This is not the juggernaut conference division rather than maybe we thought.
Well, it's going to be, I think, this is the way I see everybody predicting it. The Ravens are a Super Bowl threat. I mean, a huge Super Bowl threat, if not the favorite in the AFC, for sure. And then the Steelers are going to be 10-7. And you know why I say that? Because I believe that history repeats itself.
Okay.
And then the Bengals are going to flirt around 500, right? So that's what you got in the AFC North. So it's a good division. It's probably not arguably the best. Last year, we overhyped it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Browns are all in on the number one pick next year. They got the Jags pick and their pick. Like, they're going for it.
And so just add another quarterback to this mix. Anyway, we're talking about the Steelers. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And the flurry of moves, not just TJ Watt, that's the latest one. Flurry of moves, does that mean to you, does it signal they believe they are a Super Bowl team?
I think so. I hope not. I hope Steelers brass doesn't sit there and say, wow, we Super Bowl or bust. Because that would mean that if Tomlin did not make the Super Bowl, then they would be disappointed in him. And this is not a Super Bowl team. They're 16th in odds. Like, they can't possibly say, like, man, Mike Tomlin, you better get us there this year. I mean, I wonder, like, are they going to put him on the hot seat if he doesn't meet this expectation?
I don't know. I mean, it looks like the GM is out there trying to upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, the DK Metcalf thing is like, that's all you got. Like, is that really this huge game changer? I don't know. I love DK Metcalf, but he was part of a very good wide receiver core in Seattle. Is he a true number 1A who's going to change the whole dynamic? You're counting a lot on those two players, Aaron Rodgers and DK.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, got a lot to do today. You guys have let us know how you feel about our best nickname in sports bracket. We're hearing you loud and clear. I would say, EJ, what do you think the ratio of positive to negative responses on our social media feeds to the bracket of 64 greatest sports nicknames? We revealed the entire bracket yesterday. We have the voting open, though, for two out of the four regions right now, and we're going to open the voting for the last two regions a little bit later today.
Well, you can't be calling yourself Playoff P and lose all the time.
I think it's been pretty good. I think that, I mean, you know, everyone has their typical where's this guy, where's that guy. But I think if they're, like, I feel like for the sitcom bracket, I feel like it was a lot more vitriol.
Mm.
Like, they don't call me Championship Chuck.
Like, maybe it's because I was sitting next to someone who was spewing that vitriol. But I felt like even online, that vitriol was very intense.
Yeah.
Like, where is this show? Where is that show? What are you doing? What's this seating?
I think you're an idiot.
I haven't had much of that. There's some of that sprinkled, but I think most people, I think, look at this and say, oh, these are the greatest nicknames.
Well, I would say the one thing there, we talked about this yesterday. There's probably 150 good nicknames.
Yes.
People
That's
think 64 issue. Is a lot. You're not even, yeah. like, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. And also, too, some of the lower seeds are really amazing. Like, there's some great nicknames, even at, like, 12. It's not really... this is a very, how do you describe a field that has a lot of good teams in it? There's a lot of parody in the nickname game right now.
Parody in the nickname game. That's funny.
Yeah, we did a bracket. What was the bracket last year that we did that was so top heavy that sequels? Sequels, all the number one seeds got through. Like, yep. Empire Strikes Back, Godfather 2. This is not that. This is going to be a battle royale.
No, it is. It is not going chalky. And I think that speaks to the depth of how many great sports nicknames there are. We'll reveal some results to you later on today. The sitcom bracket too, which, you know, you guys loved it and a lot of people had an issue, is because... it's like, what do you do with kids' shows? Like, shows that were geared towards children, like Saved by the Bell and the Brady Bunch and stuff like that.
Yeah, you and EJ had that issue. I don't think America had that issue.
Well, it became an issue because there were very huge, popular shows, again, like the Brady Bunch or like Saved by the Bell.
Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World was another one. I think Family Matters.
In this building, I didn't get a single email about Boy Meets World. I just heard you two talking about how much you love that show. It's like Seinfeld, Boy Meets World. I don't know.
Tough for Oprah. Opening round matchup.
Topanga had a grip on the country back then.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
You have to have a grip on the country when Maggie and EJ were 7 years old. It's like, America was like, why isn't this show that I loved when I was seven? Like, I mean, that's the thing. Sitcom is very age dependent too. Like, obviously, I love, like,
Maggie was also 27 when that show was out.
What? Boy Meets World?
Yeah. Boy Meets World.
Oh,
long.
Manny, why did I take a stray?
That's an old show, dude. I think that's the other thing, too. Sometimes you hear this movie is like, whoa, this movie is Superbad came out 23 years ago. Like, what?
I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
It's like when you watch the NFL or NBA draft and it's like, this player that was in the league.
Nothing will make you feel older. Not sitcoms, not Manny trying to tell me I was in college watching Boy Meets World. Dude, get a Wikipedia. Like, Google it. I was in elementary school.
Don't lie to the audience, okay?
But the one thing, no matter what, that will make you feel old as dirt.
Really?
Is when your favorite athlete's kids start playing professional sports.
Yeah.
100%.
It's like taking just,
I just found out Mark Grootselaar's kid got drafted by the Yankees. That's incredible. Was this what it's like when you guys saw
Prince
Fielder come get called up and Ken Griffey Jr. and all them?
Just wait, Manny.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Well, who'd you say it was?
Mark Grootselaar's kid.
Grootselaar's kid.
I saw it last night.
Wait till Jeter's. Well, he's got daughters.
I'll wait.
The ESPYs awarded the best high school player, and they had Cameron Boozer as the.
There you go.
That was like another one. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go.
They're going to Duke next year, aren't they? The Boozer twin.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Knicks were playing the summer league against the Pacers, and they were playing against RJ Felton, and a lot of people thought it was like someone related to Raymond Felton.
Raymond Jr.
Had to come out and say, no, I am not related to Raymond Felton.
I thought it was his kid. I was you gotta be nuts.
That's what everyone did. He had to, during his press conference after the game, he was like, oh no, I'm not related to Raymond Felton. Knicks fans breathe a sigh of relief.
Okay, that would have been too much.
I think RJ Felton also took a sigh of relief.
Well, that wasn't great. Nothing will make you feel older than that. When your favorite athlete's kids start playing professional sports.
Oof. Hey, those Theo Ratliff kids, Perloff, they're looking good.
For real?
Oh, my God.
Are those the kids? Where are they?
They're at Stepanek.
Those are the kids I saw at Stepanek?
Yeah.
Those are Theo Ratliff's kids? Oh, I have not been able to wrap my head around.
This is a high school game.
I went to a high school game. I'm like, wow, high school players are getting bigger and better. That I realized now they're Theo Ratliff's kids.
Yeah, but it's Theo's kids.
One's like 6'11", the other one's like 6'9".
Kenyon Martin's kid.
15 years old.
He's like
KJ Martin.
Full on in the league.
Wait, yeah. KJ Martin's like a veteran.
Yeah, he's a vet now.
Yeah, he's like an old guy.
That was a tough one, guys. That was a tough one.
Get ready to watch the Boozer twins playing at Duke next year.
Kenyon Martin, Nick Legend.
Easy.
One season.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay, so what are the Steelers signaling to you with all of their offseason moves? To me, it's a team that looks like they're a Super Bowl contender. To Perloff, this
Super
is a team
Bowl.
That's just like whatever.
They're going to be 10-7. They are going to be 10-7 and just get ready.
But that's just getting into the playoffs. Then they got to start winning some games. Okay, lots to do, including a big announcement yesterday that's going to be felt really from coast to coast. But I'm looking at it and approaching it, Pearl, I think way different than the average sports fan. We'll get to that. We also had a big homecoming for our friends in Portland. A legend is going to return eventually.
Gary Payton.
You know, yesterday.
Inside joke.
Yeah, yesterday, that was my Mount Olympus of Portland. I put Gary Payton on for Oregon State and got roasted for it, rightfully so. Yesterday was the first time I really felt horribly that I did not put Dame Lillard on that Mount Olympus. Mm. Pearl, you didn't either.
No, I had Dame Lillard.
Oh, you did have Dame?
Yeah, yeah. No,
okay,
I mean,
he was represented.
I used common sense on my Mount Olympuses.
Okay. Geez, that's open season actually, on me today.
I remember he was the first person I put on mine.
More than Clyde Drexler? He was the first one that came.
Yeah, yeah. Dame. Well, yeah, Clyde. It was Dame Clyde. Anyway, we'll go back to it. Yeah, he was pretty much one.
Okay. 888-710-4ISN. Yeah. So we've got that news for you. We've got nicknames for you. Big show on tap today. It's Maggie Perloff.
We do not care.
Oh, boy. Are the cameras on us, Maggie? I hear Coldplay in the background. I don't know if you were on the internet last night or yesterday. There was an embarrassing gaffe by a CEO of a company who was caught canoodling with his head of HR at a Coldplay concert. And Chris Martin actually said something. Oh, my God. Maggie, did this take over your timeline like mine?
Yes. This is like 90% all my social media of these two kind of middle-aged looking people swaying along to a Coldplay.
I would say attractive older people. Yeah,
okay,
they were.
Sure. Yeah, older, but yeah, they kind of seem like, I don't know, they seem like they were having a great time.
Very close.
He's kind of like holding her from behind, and they're kind of swaying to the music in this very tender moment. And then all of a sudden they put like the, it's at Foxborough, right?
Yeah, like the kiss cam kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they put like the Jumbotron on them, and these two just split from each other immediately like someone had pulled a fire alarm or something. And he ducks down and she covers her face.
And turns around.
And Chris Martin himself goes, those people are either having an affair or they're very shy. And now the internet has gone with it that they are having an affair. I don't even know if that's true.
Oh, it's widely reported that, and I think their statements like this is
that he's a CEO and she's
reported.
The head of HR.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I've seen is from like some pop culture-y guy. I haven't seen like, let's put it this way. The New York Times hasn't confirmed it or whatever.
Oh, I'm not sure that that's the case anymore. We got to research this. I think the lamestream media has gotten in on this one. I think that we're pretty, actually you're right. I don't want to say that. I don't want to ruin this guy's family, but I think it's real.
Okay. Well, this is what Chris Martin, this was him at the concert. So this is what started it. It's the blame the front man from Coldplay.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
Hell of a line. If they're not having an affair, their lives are ruined. I mean, this has 23 million views. It's gone. What did EJ? What'd you say in the chat? Triple platinum.
Yeah, it's gone
viral.
It's got triple platinum on the internet.
Yeah. EJ, what's the status of how accurately reported this is? Because I'm seeing in New York Post, I don't know.
I mean, I'm just through the Twitter reporters out there. I mean, there's a lot of information out there. The fact that the woman, the woman next to her, who's just like smiling kind of like weirdly in the black blouse, who's like, ooh, my friend just got caught. That woman was just promoted in that same company last week. And it was announced by the blonde woman who's the HR rep posted on LinkedIn like, oh, so happy for my friend, blah, 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 who just got promoted to vice president of this company. Like,
well,
to her. And then here she is hanging out with these two during this quote unquote potential affair happening.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this the threat.
Wait, are you implying that we are the affair is even wider than just these two?
No, not a throuple, Pearl. Well, your head on the button.
No,
I don't know.
But somebody knows about the dirt and then is getting promoted. Like, if you worked in that company.
Blackmail. Okay, gotcha.
Or if you're working at a company, you're like, well,
I know something that you don't know that I know that you don't know that I know.
You said that. I mean, this is. I'm just like, listen. We know what's going on.
This is a corporation in America. I mean, if you could get promoted by knowing your CEO's cheating on his wife, then like, you wouldn't have enough executive a big enough an executive branch. I mean, that's like half of these are American CEOs. They have the morals of like nothing.
No, it's not about the moral part, but it's about the like there could be lawsuits and stuff like that.
Every executive in America cheats on his wife, right?
But not inside the company, Pearl. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, some of them do.
No, if you get caught. Now who's being naive?
No, but if you get caught,
and
you're
it's
out.
Public, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But we just saw that with Fox Sports 1. Like, that's the problem. That took
15 years to uncover.
CNN, same thing. That was inside the company, right?
Yeah, I mean, but those scandals took forever. I mean, listen, have you ever watched, like, the background of what was happening with Roger Ailes? I mean,
that was decades. That was sexual assault.
Or T.J. Holmes. Like, that's not a...
That was bad. This seems like it was consensual. Yeah, no, you're right. I shouldn't
have compared that. But there are, like, I think there are companies where... I don't think this is as uncommon as you guys are making it sound.
No, not
definitely
uncommon.
Not. But getting caught means there's going to be repercussions.
And he's going to have a painful divorce.
CEO Andy Byron and the firm's chief human resources officer, Kristen Cabot.
By the way,
Andy Byron, you want to talk about like just melting in the clutch. Like, you got to no-sell that. What? Like, the fact that that video doesn't go viral if he just acts like everything is normal. Like,
that's an interesting strategy.
Hid and like went and hid his face, and the woman was looking all like confused.
I'm going to hell.
Like that is why this video was viral. Had he just like acted like, oh yeah, this is my wife,
it would have been fine.
Who's sharing a random video of a kiss cam that where nothing normal, nothing weird happens?
Jeez, I'm an idiot.
It looked like a trap door opened from underneath him, and he just disappeared. Like, is this a trick stadium, Gillette? Or do they have some kind of like shoot?
That's where Bill Belichick hides all the played footballs.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, though.
All the playbooks he's stolen.
Let's be real, though. You're saying, in an ideal world, yes, that would have been the smart move, but that is gutsy.
Well, that's how you know they're doing something wrong.
Well, yeah, but if he had just played it through and said, like, listen, if I don't catch Chris Martin's attention, I'm safe, that would take some real force. I mean,
stay cool.
I don't know, EJ. I say what you're saying. In reality, I don't know if any husband could be cool enough to be like, well, if I just keep doing this, no one's going to tweet it.
That's hard.
You're right. You're logically right, but that's hard to ask.
I know, but like, listen, like once you step into those waters, you got to be prepared for everything.
Clearly, yeah, definitely caught off guard.
No, I think you guys don't understand. Like, I don't know. There are powerful men who think they can do anything. Like, this guy seems to have an ego on him.
Well, can I tell you?
Expose himself?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was a drop. Oh. That was not me.
I cut you off there. I'm so sorry.
That was Manny. No, I don't know what that was.
I was like, weird left turn there, Pearl.
Did you notice I was staring right at you and my lips weren't
I don't know. I
moving?
Got I got duped by the drop.
He's a player.
But I know,
again, a drop, by the way.
We got to get to Peter Schwartz with his update, but just really quickly.
I'm dying to know what you were going to say.
This actually happened to someone who I know.
Oh, got caught on a kiss cam?
No, not a kiss cam, but got caught out somewhere in public with someone else who, how dare you, not his wife, and someone they worked with, and that person had just gotten promoted.
Wife, your daughter, your niece, your other niece.
He had just promoted this woman, and someone I know who was also working in that group had gotten passed over for said promotion.
Oh, wow.
And then happened upon the two of them and, like, took a picture of it.
And then sort of held the company ransom?
Not ransom, just...
Did they say, you better promote me or...
You know, to be honest, they sat on it for a while because they weren't really sure what to do because it's, like, a big decision if you want to do something like that. And then said this, then, you know, kept getting passed over and was like, well, drop the bomb.
Boy.
So that they
that
get
escalated
the promotion.
Quickly.
Yep.
Wait, I understand. They dropped the bomb, like they ruined the marriage and then got the promotion?
No, they just, it was just, I don't know if the marriage was ruined, but just like exposed the fact that the guy was cheating.
And then blew their leverage then?
No, because the guy ends up getting, you know, dismissed. And then the person who I know, they were like, you know, they end up getting the promotion.
Well, what she could have done is
I'm not going to say.
Well, anyway, what they could have done was go into his office and say, listen, I got pictures. It's up to you.
No, didn't do that. Went to HR. Did the proper protocols. Was not trying to go rogue on this.
How do you go to HR in this situation?
You can't.
It is HR.
But by the way, she went to HR. Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you got to go to the proper channel.
But that doesn't guarantee a promotion just because you get the guy fired.
Nope.
Like,
she just didn't like that it was happening, that this other person who was not qualified kept getting promoted because they were having an affair.
Once you present, like, hey, this is what happened, you also open yourself up to a lawsuit for the company. So the company also has to be smart about what they're going to do with that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys sound so naive to the real world.
What do you mean naive?
How many settlements do you watch
every week that are like, oh, this person slept with this person, so therefore we're going to give this person a settlement to go away? That happens a zillion times.
No, I know, but I feel like this kind of thing happens in companies all the time.
Yeah, but not all of them. I mean, it is brazen to go to a Coldplay concert. What happened to like the motel by the side of the highway? That's over.
Yeah, that's why
I was not surprised for one second that this happened. Like, anyway.
Well, what do we think he told his wife, like where he went that night? Oh, working late?
Yeah. Company's got tickets for Coldplay?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Definitely like, oh, the company has tickets for Coldplay.
Can I come?
No. It's only employees.
Only.
I love Coldplay.
You know, to be honest, Coldplay has a lot of bangers. They do.
I know two songs.
It's good. You could play Coldplay the rest of the morning.
Coldplay is a bit polarizing.
Are they?
I didn't realize that until yesterday.
It makes you kind of sound soft if you're a guy who listens to Coldplay. Obviously,
that's a man-woman thing.
Yeah. It's very poppy. So if you like it, you're like, you know, you don't admit it. It's like, you secretly like Coldplay.
But it's
like, you know, like pop music.
So it's like something you listen to in your car alone.
Yeah, like I love, like we all love Adele, but I don't think if you're like hanging out with your guy friends, let's put on Adele.
Go to Vegas, go
like,
catch
we
your
all
show.
Secretly love Adele.
Yeah. How like, do you not?
If you get in a car with a bunch of guy
like
friends
Adele.
and you put on
Don't ask
Coldplay.
Me to sing
coming
it.
Up at 7:30, Peter Schwartz.
No. I'm not singing Adele. No.
You're done singing for us?
I didn't say I was done singing. I'm like, I can't get.
Yeah,
that was octaves.
You were here the last time Peter was in the update. Mercifully. Terry goes, I love Chapel Road, and that just set off the entire show.
Yeah,
I love that song.
Which I heard it got back to me, which is funny because I was in the middle of nowhere, and somehow it still got back to me. But thank you for being a good sport.
Yeah,
Peter Schwartz is with us on updates today.
By the way, thanks to that couple for letting Maggie and Perloff stretch this segment because absolutely nothing happened in really sports yesterday.
Oh, that's a great precursor to your update.
Sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protects small businesses with affordable coverage options. He had a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. We'll start with some NFL news. Steelers linebacker TJ Watt's now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history after he reportedly agreed to a three-year, $123 million deal. It includes $108 million fully guaranteed at signing. It's an annual value of $41 million a year. Watt leads the NFL with 73.5 sacks over the last five seasons. NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell Jr. resigned late last night after a two-year run as leader of the union. Some scandal possibly here. There have been reports that the FBI was investigating the financial dealings of the Players Association as well as the Major League Baseball Players Association related to a multi-billion dollar group licensing firm. Howell said it's clear his leadership had become a distraction.
Yeah, this one really, they stepped in it here. I don't know how he would be able to continue with his role. And also, I don't think from other stories I've heard, is he was never really meant to have this role for a long time anyway. Like, there's allegations out there that J.C. Treader, the former offensive lineman for the Browns, sort of wanted to keep him there as a little placeholder and that he would eventually take over. But that plot seems like got blown up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's absolutely no surprise on this. This story has been a big deal. NFL reporters, it's just been, I think America's having trouble wrapping their head around exactly what went down here. I'm getting a lot of that vibe on the internet.
Definitely. Well, also, when's the CBA up? I don't even know. The NFL seems...
10-year deal, right?
Yeah, they had a 10-year deal, so I don't think it's any... We're not on the precipice of a lockout or any time
exactly,
the NFLPA have to know about these guys.
Yeah, like the NFLPA isn't really doing much right now. Getting involved in things they shouldn't.
Except for conflicting.
It could be worse. He wasn't at a Coldplay concert.
Do you know that?
Coldplay the Super Bowl halftime show.
Seen it before.
They did one already. Yeah.
I was there.
They did it already. Yeah,
San Francisco.
Yeah, I got that Coldplay song from my Super Bowl performers rejoin list. Yeah.
It was Coldplay, Beyonce, and Bruno Mars, I believe.
Yeah, I mean,
Bruno Mars. Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bruno Mars was at everyone. He's always there.
Yeah,
right?
So they could bring Coldplay back again, capture the the excitement that everybody is talking about Coldplay.
And you know? Bring out the CEO and bring
capture
out the woman.
They could be in like the, you know, the dancers down there in the front that they always bring out onto the field. So, veteran wide receiver Mike Williams announced his retirement after eight NFL seasons with the Chargers, Jets, and Steelers. Williams had signed a one-year deal to return to the Chargers in March, but was working through an undisclosed injury. Quarterback Justin Herbert reacts to Williams' retirement.
I want what's best for Mike. He's always been there for us, and you know, we're going to be there for him. It's obviously a tough situation, and you know, I've got so much respect for him as a teammate, as a friend, as a, you know, as a receiver, as a player, and you know, the man that he is.
Williams ranks 10th on the Chargers franchise receiving yards list with 4,806.
Wow. By the way, Mike Williams is part of a very special class, draft class of idiotic picks that were not Patrick Mahomes in 2017. They were sitting there, number 7, could have gotten Mahomes, and they took Mike Williams.
Yeah.
John Ross went number 9 to the Bengals that year.
Who was
and
it?
Corey Davis went number 5 to the Titans.
Who did the Jets take? The Jets,
took Jamal Adams, another team that should have taken Mahomes. That's one of the all-time, like, what were these teams? Fine player, but totally the wrong player.
Draft was in Philly, too. I was
What's
there.
That?
That draft was in Philly.
Oh, yeah. That's when Trubisky got drafted.
Yeah, I was
another
there.
One.
Good times.
Mike Williams, we always, like, he looked like a star and just never got it together, really.
Giants drafted Evan Ingram that draft. I was not happy.
Yeah, that's that whole draft in general. Didn't Solomon Thomas go
Reuben
really
Foster
high?
Foster was also in that draft.
That was an all-time draft, but not at the very top. Like, there was tons of Hall of Fame. I think T.J. Watt was in that draft. And Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I was going to say, Garrett went one.
Yeah, that draft has Hall of Famers up and down the whole board. But, yeah, Mike Williams, the receivers did not work. Mike Williams looked like a Hall of Famer. I mean, do you remember how excited everybody was about that guy?
Yeah, I remember people being excited about Jamal Adams.
Leonard Fournette, too.
Oh, my gosh. That was a big one.
Yeah.
That was right on the cusp of should you be taking running backs that high.
But then that was like when the late round running backs started to blow up. Right. Kamara was in that draft later in the draft. I remember I always go
Dalvin
back
Cook.
Looking back who should teams have taken. That's one of my big themes, and it's totally useless, but you can't go back, man.
No, you can't.
I had a Jamal Adams bobblehead. I took a sledgehammer to it.
Wow. Really?
I did, yeah.
The day that he asked for the trade?
Yep. Well, as soon as he left.
Okay.
Went out in the backyard with a sledgehammer and took a sledgehammer to it.
That is real emotion.
But they won the trade, at least.
They won the trade, but, like, you know, like, you'd be angry at a player if they didn't want to be on your team, too, especially the way that ended.
I'm angry in general.
I mean, what's worse, burning a jersey or taking a sledgehammer to a bobblehead?
Yeah, bobblehead.
Well, a jersey, at least you could repurpose. You could donate it to a local place and somebody could, you know, wear it.
Sure.
I was thinking Jamal Adams. I remember when you were interviewing him on a weekly basis, right?
Yep.
That was amazing at first. I remember I was like, wow, I heard a clip of that interview. I'm like, wow, this guy is going to really be the voice of New York sports.
I know.
He's really good, right?
When we were doing that show on WFAN, we had money for one interview. And they said, you could pick anybody you want for both Giants and Jets, and we'll go to them and see if they want to do it. And it was like, no brainer. Jamal Adams.
Right.
Because this dude could not stay on message, let's put it that way, which is exactly what you want from those weeklies because they can be brutal. Mm. And he would light up the organization week after week and they would go viral. And eventually he stopped doing the interview because we asked why he scrubbed the team from his social media. And I asked the question two different ways. How dare I? And they got upset and he pouted and went away.
He was also, by the way, not just he was fun too, as I recall.
It started off like he was really.
How dare you?
Like he was really going to be like the face and this big figure in New York and all that, and crashed and
burned. He was beloved by the Jet fans at first.
Yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, like
he called out the team.
Yeah, and he also played extremely hard. Like he was the kind of guy that threw his body out there. He was getting all these sacks, like
jumping over the top of people.
Yeah, I mean, he was destroying Daniel Jones. One of my favorite plays ever in Jets history is him just ripping the ball from Daniel Jones and taking it to the house. Like
he was just like, give me that.
Yeah.
It is a good highlight. You know, his whole career kind of got derailed, which is funny because he's a guy who had a dad who played in the NFL. And you thought, all right, the dad may be influencing his running back for the Giants. Maybe the dad's influencing him, and maybe they know what they're doing. Get away from the Jets, right? Like, you can totally defend that. Get away from the Jets. You were star at LSU, you know, and get on with your career. And then he went to Seattle and got hurt, and it just never was the same.
Well, the whole NFL changed, though. They realized safeties have to be able to cover. So that, like, his skill set became irrelevant overnight.
All right, we got to leave it right there. Thank you so much, Peter. Coming up, we do have the news about Caitlin Clark. She's got to take a seat
for the WNBA All-Star Game and the festivities. But what's really going on here, we'll tell you next. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So, bummer news. Caitlin Clark, because of that groin injury, Pearl, and this is the fourth injury now that she's had this season, is not going to be able to participate. No three-point competition, no game. It's not a stunning shock, but it is a blow to the WNBA, who just keeps, you know, putting together record ratings and everything's breaking records about their reach and influence. And Caitlin Clark is clearly the biggest star, and now she can't partake.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a short-term blow, but as far as the growth of the WNBA, it's not going to have an all-time impact, right?
Not this weekend.
I mean, I guess the question is, are we nervous that the supposed long-term impact that Caitlin Clark is going to have on the WNBA might not happen, because who knows if her career will unfold the way we all sort of expected?
So I think it was a little shocking when the article came out when Caitlin got injured earlier this season, and the television ratings were down 55%, not just Fever games, but according to Nielsen, all across the WNBA, the viewership was down because this one player got hurt. It doesn't make sense to me, that report, but that was the report and people ran with it. I think one of the big issues are, if not just Caitlin Clark this weekend, and we're curious if you're still going to watch if she's not participating at 888-710-4ISN, but if she rushes back because the pressure on her to, air quotes, carry the league. And I know that that gets, like, a lot of the WNBA players really ticked off when people like me say, like, she's carrying the league because it's not just a one-woman show. But her influence, like, I could see from an athlete's standpoint, not just to want to be there for her team, the Indiana Fever, Pearl, but also just, like, for the league to rush back and risk further injury. And then on top of it, you know, a lot of the quotes coming out of Indianapolis right now are about her mental health. And I started to think about that a little bit more. The amount of pressure that's on her, beyond even, I think, what Michael Jordan or, you know, anyone kind of, maybe Tiger, I think, would have a similar understanding of the type of pressure where you're not just performing for yourself or for your team, family, loved ones, whatever. It's also like, You're assigned this greater purpose, you know,
for, like, women's sports, you mean?
For women. Yeah. Tiger, for, you know, for being Black, like, you, this greater societal impact is also thrust on your shoulders. So you, I'm sure, would think anytime something goes sideways, you're not just letting yourself or your team down, but, like, this larger group. Mm-hmm. And I worry a little bit for Caitlin for burnout purposes, which we know a lot more about. And she was giving an interview recently where she said if she can just go outside for like 30 minutes and walk around, that's something that really helps her. Don't forget, she had a stalker showed up at her house.
Yeah, sure.
It would spin a lot for her. And I'm not just saying her. Angel Reese also had these horrible death threats coming towards her, people coming up to her on the street saying awful things, like, in person. It's not just keyboard warriors. For Caitlin, though, I do worry about the mental side.
Yeah, I mean, remember Monica Seles when she got stabbed on the court? It's huge pressure. I mean, listen, that also happens to male athletes.
Definitely.
We had Tim Tebow in, couldn't walk outside for large chunks of his career. Now I think he can. But yeah, I mean, first of all, I will say it's different, though. Is she, are you putting her, like, she's definitely, Jackie Robinson, what he did was crazy heroic. I mean, that's historical. It's because WNBA's been here, and college basketball, women's college basketball, has been popular. It's funny, I never really thought about, I thought of her as a star, but it's, you could speak more to this. It's like, she really an inspiration for all women athletes?
Yes.
WNBA stars who came before her? Were they?
She said that her idol was Maya Moore, and Maya Moore is a huge star, but I don't think Maya Moore was feeling the same level of pressure that Caitlin is. First of all, like, I don't think she landed with, like, the casual fan, if you will, the way that Caitlin has. So
she faces more of, like, Sabrina Ionescu, who will compete tonight. Like, it's just a different guy. I totally understand
different
what you're
stratosphere.
Saying.
I think it's, like, it's Tiger-like. And to be honest, we knew that Tiger had some outlets to sort of vent that kind of pressure that were not that healthy.
Oh, my God. Tiger is a whole mess. It's funny because Caitlin struck me as very well-adjusted for... I haven't actually seen these quotes about her psychology, but yeah, she seemed like she was able to handle this.
Can anyone? 888-710-4ISN, and then add on top of it the injuries? All right, coming up, we update the best nickname in sports bracket.